Welcome to VFN Radio, where we are keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only one, John Paul Ramos is joining us today.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you doing? Hey, we'll give a shout out to all those birthday people out there. Sad to say, we have to wait another year for John and Pat to be roasted again.
Oh, sucks.
But we are planning, working on it right now. We have a planning committee coming together to decide what we're going to do. It is Easter Sunday this Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before Sunday, don't skip Friday. Friday was the day that marks that he gave, Jesus, the Son of God, gave his life for us. So often, you just hear people just talk about the resurrection on Sunday, which was obviously the epicenter of eternity. But he paid a price for us. He paid a huge price for us. He laid down his life and took on the sin of the world so that we could stand before the Father in right standing, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we give you honor and we focus upon what you did on Friday, taking the punishment of our sins. Right now, they're still in the Supreme Court. We'll be talking about that with God's news, behind the news, and how a Christian man, as soon as the mic goes in his face in Washington, D.C., begins to cry. In the interview, and he says, I repent. I repent for everything I did, my sin that brought this upon our nation. If we don't repent, there's no hope for our nation. Also, I'll be talking to you about the influence of the Bible and what's taking place. Briefly talking to you about God's news behind the news with the European Union talking about they like what happened in Cyprus and they're thinking about doing it themselves. Possible run on the banks and the dominoes from a previous word that we had given last year, a prophetic word, which you can find on the VFN Torch. And don't let it go to your head. We're going to do this today. We're going to do that today. We are definitely going to share with you something so, so important. Your life's going to be better when it's in your heart and not your head. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello. Well, hello. How are you doing? What's happening?
Everything.
What's not happening?
What's happening? It's like, what's happening? He brings more Saints paraphernalia today, and just because we were talking about Romanizing yesterday.
Oh, you know, now he wants to be bold.
I know.
You know, off air, he was getting really hot. You should have heard. I don't know where you were. You must have been out of the studio because his chest was getting up and he was like Saints and I'm wearing my stuff.
Yeah,
like, I didn't hear that on the radio though. I mean, I heard all the Romo stuff. It was like
he turned my mic off.
Do we have that cricket thing going on? See, the cricket thing don't work now, but we didn't hear nothing.
Oh, you know, it just probably comes before fall, so we'll just see. We'll just see. Well, you know, Saints is a good team once. I mean, it was amazing what happened. I do like Drew Brees. Cool dude. Good book if you hadn't read it yet.
He's good.
And the reason why he came there, I think the Saints just benefited from this man's love of God and desire to come there and do something good. Mm. And I think about it. Would it have happened without Drew?
Nope.
That's right. Not? So then God led Drew, right? Remember, his testimony was he was going to go to Miami. Or he's going to go to New Orleans. And he and his wife were driving around going, good Lord, look at New Orleans.
I need help.
Unquote. And they said, you know, we can do something here. Talking about helping people. We can do something significant here and all that. And I'm not talking that he did say this, but I'm sure it was probably something like, you know, and besides, Saints need some help. I mean, you know, it's time that something good happened for the Saints, you know, and with God. All things are possible. And it happened.
And it happened.
You know, it happened, and God paid him well for that opportunity. And now that Drew's getting traded to the Cowboys, And Tony Romo is going to be on the Saints. He's going to be Romo. No. His shirt's going to say Romanized.
Oh, yeah.
I created a new word. I wonder if they're going to, like, coin it, you know? Going to coin that word. They probably have it there somewhere. My goodness. So many things are going on. My synoptic firings do not happen in order right now. They're just kind of happening all over the place. I guess they define that as a seizure, right? What a day. Was yesterday. If you missed yesterday's program, I was reading from what Pat had written. And it was, you know, obviously it's coming, it's unfolding, and it's maturing. But you got to hear it. We've got to get rid of the pride. We can no longer be comfortable with the very thing that God resists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully we will be able to play for you today that man, the Christian in the Washington Mall, that began to it was so refreshing when somebody really talks about the real deal. I mean, it's just like, oh yes, you know. And he said it. I mean, he didn't point at nobody. He didn't blame nobody. He knew right then. He was saying, it's my sins that brought this on this nation.
Wow.
You know, it's my sins that brought this on this nation, and I need to repent for them. And that's he's right, the church. It's us. You know, and his tears are just pouring down his face. But you know what? That's the kind of heart that God can say, okay, I'll tell you what. And he can just reboot.
Mm-hmm.
He can just, you know, forgive and reboot. And it's just amazing, you know, how good our God is. And he's looking for those opportunities to be able to forgive us. But we have to ask. We have to ask him to forgive us. And hopefully we'll have that segment so you can hear firsthand the heart of what our heart is that we're realizing we're not looking to Washington. We're not looking to the Supreme Court. We're not looking, because this is what's happening today is not the issue. You know, as we say, the issue is us. You know, when you think about Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was going to go back and rebuild the walls, you know, it started with a prayer of repentance for his sin and his father's sins. It wasn't praying for the king's sins. It wasn't praying for those who weren't God's people's sins. You know, it was his own sins and the sins of his father. And so they're in the mall protesting. Some people are just, you know, there's an issue before the Supreme Court right now,
mm-hmm.
and they want to define marriage. They want the courts to be able to define it. And so you have people that are down there, you know, for one side and one for the other side. But this is the guy that got on the right side. He don't have a sign or anything, but he has tears coming down his face. You got to hear this. This is an interview is taking place by CBN News. Listen up.
This man from Maryland says the scene reduced him to tears.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
So First Street.
It is amazing. It's like, there's probably thousands of people down there, and one man understands it. He has tears running down his face. You're going to be able to see this on the VFN Torch, but this is an interview being done. That's just a part of the interview. But it's the only part of the interview that I think counts. He understands it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about all this other stuff. By the way, everybody in D.C. right now, I don't care who they are, what their political affiliation is, whether they have a leadership job or not, whether they're a judge or whatever, God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his desire is for them to be saved and to mm-hmm. make it. The issue is with the church. Yeah. You know, the issue is with, and I'm talking about Christians here. I'm not talking about people who want to say that they're believers, us. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the physical building. I'm talking about us, the building of Christ. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's just like, yes. You know, and so that is what we really need to get out. And he says, oh my goodness. He says, my sin has brought this on this nation. He was taking ownership of the condition of the nation. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's just awesome. So beautiful. And I'm like, and that's the burden that I felt like for a long time, that, you know, this is my fault. This is our fault. You know, we've allowed this to go on. We allow religious folk to go on acting like everything's normal and religious spirit type thing versus, you know, let's just get real, beat our chest and say, God, we need forgiveness. Not like the religious dude who sat there and said, you know, I'm glad I'm not like him.
Hmm.
And that's what's going on right now, probably in D.C., is they're pointing at people saying, I'm glad I'm not like him or her or whatever. And Jesus, you know, talks about the man that beat his chest and realized, you know, his condition.
Right.
And that's the one that got in.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the one that's just, you know, all, you know, prideful and self-reliant and thought he didn't figure out how everything works when he's standing, you know, he's giving, Jesus explained that. So no, it's the man that built his, beat his chest and said, I'm not even worthy to even go anywhere. And it's like, oh my goodness. Where are we in D.C. right now in the Washington Mall beating our chest going, like, this guy's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's my sin that's brought this on this nation. It's my sin. God, forgive me for my sin. If we don't do this, there's no hope for this nation. That's a prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a prophecy, which means two things. One is there's hope for the nation. We just need to have his heart towards our own sin and towards God. And you know, we were part of Stand in the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went there some time back with, I don't know, one, two, three, a million men at least. And it was the most beautiful. It's the closest thing that I could have ever imagined what heaven would be like.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
And because it was all of us from all over the country. And, you know, I'm talking about every socioeconomic group, every race, every, but it's all men. There was women on the some women on the outskirts that were doing some things that weren't so nice.
Mm-hmm. And, I'll quote those, yeah.
Yeah. but despite all that, the men that were there, they just loved on them and just didn't say anything. But it was just amazing. Men are praying for each other, loving God, and there's something beautiful about, you know, men, you know, loving God.
Yeah.
You know, just being
real. I remember
real.
One time, one significant moment when we were all took a moment to repent, and you could hear, I mean, just the quietness. You had a million men on the mall.
I know, a million.
I mean, it was the most holy moment. I mean, quiet is just amazing. And it was just no talking, no movement. And it was just men getting right with God and repenting for their sins and for the sins of their nation.
I was repenting for mine. I know that.
I know that's right.
When I finished mine, I helped Pat out. He had a few.
Oh my goodness. That's a long list over there. So,
mm-hmm.
But it was powerful, absolutely powerful. And the worship was just intense. But everywhere you went, it seemed like just Washington, D.C., for that moment, that weekend, was overtaken by a million Christian men all over the city.
Right, right, right. And also, I remember that, remember when Joseph Garlington was...
I like him.
Because they had so many different... by the way, this is available to you on the VFN Torch. You can see some video footage. You can hear some of the songs that were being sung right there. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and see this. It was such a powerful moment. But Joseph Garlington just got such, he has such a cool perspective of a real perspective of so many things of the Lord. And but he was singing. Do you remember the singing that took place with you know, it says, you know, Jesus make a man of me, a man of integrity, a man of the spirit,
yeah,
a man of his word.
Mm-hmm.
And that all that was just echoing through all those buildings and the museums and all that was taking place down there. Or Evie Hill. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Where the Lord now.
I love that guy.
Like, he was the real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, like, some people call themselves, people who call themselves a leader, they ain't got nobody following them, just merely taking a walk.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people today that think because they're paying people to follow them, they're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that when you begin, you need men to move in their places. You're going to see some awesome leadership when men begin to just get back in that place. Because what happened was at that time, you know, men went back. You know, if at that one moment, that repentance could have ended, said, okay, you're the leader.
Right.
You know, I want to impart this leadership to you. And I want you to go back with the ownership of that title and that responsibility. And I don't want you to be, I don't want you to cow down anymore. I don't want you to feel intimidated in the presence of the religious. I want you to look at what God says about you, and I want you to come together in your, you know, your group of your band of brothers to provoke each other to continue this and to lead, you know, lead in your business, lead in your marriage, lead in your home, lead in your community. And it just kind of like fell short in the context of they didn't fall short. So we came back, it just went back into religion, because that's what was happening in all the gatherings at that time. It was just, there was like, hey, we're going to get some men woken up so they can come in here and work with our programs.
Right.
And it's like, oh, men don't do programs. So you got to get this. You got to get it. It's on the VFN Torch. Also, there's a picture. We have a picture, an aerial shot. And I believe that at that time it was President Clinton. It was president right there. And think about this: what you could have done as a president. And today, by the way, the Billary package is running for office.
The Billary package.
And this is so connective, because he could have came out as a president out of the White House, which is like right there, and gotten the very, very front. On the very, very front of what was going on, why Joseph maybe was singing, leading us all in worship to God. Heaven's going to be awesome, by the way. It's just going to be just that alone, and worshiping God in that way. But he could have been on his face, like so many men were. He could have been on his face, and how the America would have shifted.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he got on Marine One. He got in the helicopter,
just flew over.
And he circled the mall and then flew off. A million. Wow. I mean, this is before Twitter and Facebook. I mean, there was a million followers.
Yeah.
That a politician flew over. A politician.
Wow.
He had a chance to get, you know, connected at least with a million. And I believe the whole world was watching. They were broadcasting it all around the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
C-SPAN
yeah.
was broadcasting. They were broadcasting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
TBN, all the ones. But instead of coming out and hitting the ground with every other man out there, I mean, he would have blended in.
Mm.
He just humbled himself.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's like, oh my goodness, what's happening in the world today? When you think about all these pieces connecting and all. And you got to see this. You got, and one thing too, you might be able to see, you see Pat and I up front, because we got up in time. we're up front, and you know,
I think we have a picture of that somewhere.
I do.
By the way.
And we have a picture of John. And you know John, I mean, if he's up front, we got to put him on our shoulders so he can see. And so...
you other vertically challenged people out there, he really does not mean this.
Okay? Oh, yeah. I thought about that. They really... You know, I really don't... I
really
seriously
does not mean this.
Seriously. These things I say, Pat is not in shape. I don't say... No, listen, I don't...
Nope.
Truly, truly.
He loves everyone. He really loves everyone.
I do.
Everyone.
Right. I'm sorry. If somebody's... No. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
By the way, that picture,
what?
When you do a Google search for Promise Keepers, it shows up on Google search.
Really?
Once.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was delayed back there. I was delayed back there because I was actually waiting for the rest of my group to get ready. And we all went out there together. But listen, just by the Washington Monument alone, there had to be about 30, 40,000 people. But yeah, you had to get out there pretty early to get out there in the front. I don't think you were way up in the front. Were you way up in the front?
Oh, we were
compared
way
to you,
up front.
We were like behind Joseph Garland.
We were on the front row.
you were by the Washington Monument.
Oh, my God.
You were by the Washington Monument, and we were like a couple feet back. They had so many different monitrons and TVs and goodness. You know, we did enjoy it. It was just wonderful. But I wish I could go back and just enjoy it better.
I know. And this is when we didn't
You would
have
got up in time, wouldn't you? You would have been like, I'm leaving you guys in this room. You guys taking forever, you know?
I was with the group, man. I said, come on, guys. You know, I didn't want to leave them.
Wasn't Joe with you?
Joe, Bob.
I saw him he's like standing in the gap.
Stay in his grip is what he says.
He was talking about some things. That's what I was thinking about you guys. You had a group back then, right?
Yeah, we had an awesome group.
You had Joe.
Bob.
Bob. Oh, my Gwee. Oh, my goodness.
Miguel?
No, Miguel wasn't in it. That was
okay.
That's his dad. Gwee was in it.
Oh, that's right.
Brad.
Yeah, Brad, yes.
Brad. We have a funny picture of Brad and Joe to this day. They both had their heads tilted back, doing a B-boy pose.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a monument. Arash.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was an amazing, and you know what? All these guys, think about that. I mean, that was such an amazing, amazing time. We went together as a men's group, and you had all different, you know, backgrounds. I mean, all races whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Different socioeconomic backgrounds, different races, and yet the one thing they had in common
right. was that they loved
the Lord. I'm sorry, someone's styling and profiling in the studio, but
it's fine.
Pat, go ahead.
Okay,
but that was amazing because we were all different ages, we were all different races, and society would say
and
that
height.
We couldn't come together. Yeah, no doubt, and thickness.
Ooh,
oh,
you had to go there.
Oh my goodness, it's all right. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't mind.
But God was there in the midst, and it was just so powerful. We met at a conference room and that place was blessed. They knew we were coming on in.
You know how much energy Gary always has, right?
Oh my goodness.
But that early in the morning, he was just kind of
in the morning, huh?
Yeah, I remember the morning we had the breakfast. You're talking about that we all kind of gathered in a place.
Was that the Burger King?
No, that was New Orleans. This is Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Standing in the gap.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Good morning. It's glad to have you with us. Saints. He's thinking about the Superdome is what it is.
Oh, I just remember a bunch of men.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to Birmingham and we were a bunch of men to Birmingham.
When it rained.
Sopping wet.
Yeah, men were laying in puddles of water worshiping God.
Isn't that amazing?
And we ate. Nobody mind. And we ate food. They fed all these thousands of men. And we ate the food up under a flatbed truck because that's the place that you could find water or find shelter from that. And it's just so cool. You know, by the way, just to let you know that, you know, the Lord has shown me that it ain't over.
Mm.
I mean, he's shown me stadiums filled with men, you know, filled with fathers and sons and worshiping God. Mm. And we will see it again at a cranked up level. Of abiding men and abiding sons, as you know, 11-year-old boys take the stage and begin to say, "This is what the Lord just told me this morning." Mm-hmm. And the whole room will lean forward, and the power of God, bam, at that place. Because God says, "I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh."
Mm.
And some of the things that God's shown us about the young people, how he's going to begin to speak through them and minister through them, and we're seeing it now. But as it goes, you're not going to be able to hold back. I mean, you think about Breakaway and Texas A&M. I mean, you're looking at the people hearing the real deal, going after God. And they said, if the Lord leaves, it all stops. And that's how you know when it's God.
Mm-hmm. There's 10,000 students that are gathering. I think it's in a basketball gymnasium. You got to see the picture on the torch.
Yes.
You got to you got to see this. But the video is amazing. Got to watch it. But just to see all of them gather at one time, it's absolutely amazing. I love the stadiums. I see them. I see this. I see it. I see it with you. Yeah. It's going to be absolutely a great thing.
We'll be right back in a moment. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, when there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And so, but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, that he's a lover of your soul and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom and we're the bride and this intimacy and he's preparing. You know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
that's
what I'm right. saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you ask a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
when you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's living. Word that it comes with the author and
sure.
that God explains it to you and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this and the enemy's kind of complicated it. You know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. Because he says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org, you know, read over a little bit. And if you want to be able to request that plan, you can just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, eight-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you, you continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right?
Mm.
And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there. iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. We're just talking about the Stand in the Gap Promise Keepers gathering we had at the mall in Washington, D.C. I forgot to tell you, there's a picture there that you can find on the torch, but there's arrows pointing to where John is. He's behind the Washington Monument. And we're the arrow up front. Up there, and we got there early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure about how close you guys really were. I'm not sure about that.
I'm positive.
I'm not sure about that.
What time did you leave to get there?
Way too early. Yeah. Way too early. You know, you have all these guys, and you have these morning people mixed in with the not morning people. They're like jumping and bouncing around and stuff.
So
and
Pat wasn't that chipper that morning is what you're...
No, he was hyped up because he was with Tony. They were going to go ride around a convert.
No.
Oh!
That was Birmingham.
Oh!
Oh, that was Birmingham. Oh, I just got to look. That was Birmingham.
That was Birmingham.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. He is throwing everything under the bus. Well, you was rolling before that, huh?
Yeah.
And you went up there.
Yes. That's right.
Way back in the files for that one.
It's the father's heart.
Yeah.
Why are you whispering? Because there can't be a father here.
Oh, my God.
Remember, we almost went to the White House instead. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that. So we're going to be talking about, what Paul was talking to the church about. Things going to our head. Think about this. I mean, how many times do we just live our life out of our head? Some more than others, but you just think about stuff. You know, some people wake up in the morning and they just go, oh man, what do I want for me today? How's my day going to be? What am I going to eat? You know, or what if I'm going to get a raise? Or just thinking, and all of a sudden they think about all kinds of things. But the big thing is that we're called to live our life out of our heart. We're called to live our life being led by the Spirit, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And if we spend all of our time in our head, that means we're spending time not being followers of God. You can't follow God with your head, but you can follow him with your heart. We think about in Galatians, the brain is not, your mind is not your enemy, although sometimes it may seem like it. It's the battleground. It is the battleground of your life, where thoughts will come into your mind. Ephesians 6 talks about it. It's a spiritual warfare where all of a sudden this thought just happens. It just happens. And you have to understand that that's a spiritual attack, quite often referred to as a fiery dart of the enemy. And since if we don't understand spiritual warfare, then sometimes you just think, oh, I'm just terrible. I had this thought, you know, and it's like, well, it could have come out of your heart. But quite often, if it just arrives out of nowhere, it's something that just came your way by this. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. It's the fiery dart of the devil, you know? And it lands, and you can just brush it away while you brush a bird away. You're not what you're being attacked with. So you have this battle going on in your mind. So we can become mind-focused. We can become mind-focused where we're thinking that, I must be bad, or my mind's my enemy. I wish I could just shut my mind in. I can't stop my mind. And the thing is that the mind will be led by your heart. It has to submit to your heart. And when you think about it, when you think about Galatians, when Paul was writing to Galatians, he was telling them, because when you get in your head, you're starting to get into works. You're starting to get in trying to figure things out, and you're going to make it happen. And he says, this is what he says. He says in Galatians chapter 3, this is how he describes this. verse 1, he says, you foolish Galatians. Look at exclamation mark, right? You mm-hmm. foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. I mean, man, if we could just get back to the way Paul would think and he would write. I mean, he's writing this out, right?
Mm-hmm. English, right?
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah.
Well, not that, yes. But you know. Yeah, right.
The Bible Museum is going to be there when? I'm messing with you. And he goes on, he says, did you receive, the capital S, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you have heard? Mm. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal in your head by human efforts? Have you suffered so much for nothing? Think about it. All of a sudden, you're following God and God's parting waters and all these things are happening, and all of a sudden now you get comfortable, get it all figured out, and now you're trying to walk it out in your head, right? Mm-hmm. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it was really for nothing, does God give his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe some law, because you figured out how to do something in your head, or because you believe what you heard? Mm. Listen, what he's saying is, listen, it's either going to be your head or your heart, but you can't do them both. Your head, and he tells us when he's talking to the Corinthians, he says, listen, we're in a war, but it's not a war like this world. It's a war in our mind. It's our thought life. He said, but we have divine power to deal with these wrong thoughts when our mind starts going off and doing it. He says, like, take every thought and force it into compliance to what God says. What does that mean? Dude, if you're following your heart, your head like that, you're not forcing anything to be in compliance with God. You're actually thinking you are God, and you're listening to yourself, and you're taking care. Somebody said, I just heard from God, and you're watching it. Well, that couldn't be God because he wouldn't be going to approve of that. Mm-hmm. What happens, they're thinking things through, and they're logically make a decision, and they take a vote. They go, this is of God. And their heart had nothing to do with it. Versus the person who doesn't know much at all, who just believes God, and all of a sudden things break out for God in their life. And the person with that's in their head are going like, I don't understand how this is happening. Why doesn't it happen for me? That's not fair. And they measure and blame and all this kind of stuff because they're in their head. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're thinking God does these things with them because they figured something out instead of they believed. But understand this. If you let it go to your head, there's a physiology. There's physiology to how the brain works. And Tracy Hamilton had a chance to be able to share with us as she was describing how things happen. Because all of a sudden, listen, if you're going to follow God, you got to get used to change. I mean, change. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about this. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Abram's out there with doing his everyday business, and he's by the water brook, and all of a sudden he hears a voice, and he says, listen, get thee up and go, and I'll show you. I mean, that's a change. Leave all your fathers, your family, and everything, and just go. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a change. If you're in your head, you start thinking like, well, I don't know how nobody's ever left before. I don't know how it is and what it's going to be like and what's it going to be like when I get there and will they pay me well and can I find a house and this is going to go? And he had to get used to change. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. It's huge change. Mm-hmm. And he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness as he went. Right?
Yeah.
And so he's walking along and all these things are taking place. But all of a sudden, you know, he comes back with the family that's with him. And he says, listen, I was abiding today, and the Lord showed up on my abiding time, and he says, listen, I'm supposed to circumcise every male in the house. Hmm. I mean, that's change. That's change. You think about that. That's change, is it not? Mm-hmm. Did this not happen?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And whoever wasn't open to change would have been left behind because those, he said, would not be circumcised. They cannot even be here. They can't even be here. And today, of course, it's the spiritual being circumcised in our heart. But that's what happened. That's some serious change. That's some change. Mm-hmm. But he changed. He's like, okay. What's so cool is how they followed Abraham. And that's just like an awesome concept, isn't
amazing.
It? I mean, that's following, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's following.
Oh, yes.
That's following. But they didn't. God was so pleased with Abraham. He's like, you're gonna welcome everybody into your bosom when you come. I mean, I'm so blessed with you, you know, the bosom of Abraham, the father of faith. And so then he goes to the top of the mountain to offer up his son, the promise, and he's gonna sacrifice him. He's gonna take the knife and kill like you would a sacrifice, and he's gonna burn the sacrifice. He's gonna do it. He told everybody he's gonna do it because God said do it. That's a big change when all of a sudden the promise is here. Okay, I'm accepting the promise. Now I gotta actually let the promise go. Then he gets to the top of the mountain, and then what happens? He says, "Don't kill him."
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, listen, I got the up and I went. And you know what I had to go through when I had to bring in the covenant of circumcision and all the difficulty that I had there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the answer. And now you want me to, and now this, I'm going to look to the men's eyes and those people who think in their heads, they look at you and shake their head. That's what they did with John the Baptist. They thought, look at him in the wilderness eating grasshoppers and honey and clothed in some, you know, small piece of clothing, and ain't nobody listening to him anyway. If he was really, he would have a temple like us. You know what I'm saying? He would be at the pancake breakfast and stuff and the Shalom breakfast. And so then, but yet Jesus said about him, there was not one greater than him born of woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the context of this, God's just changing. And listen, if you're moving in your heart, that's not a big deal. But if you're moving in your head, because the people who move in their head, they just finally kind of settle in and go, you know, okay, I could figure this out. I could do this. But they're only just agreeing in their head. But well, hold on. The next thing's about to come, and you're going to see them all frazzled again. I thought it was going to be like this.
Right.
Who told you to thought in you the first back. Place? You know, like, what's going on? And this is physiology that takes place. You got to hear this. This is being explained. I'll let Tracy explain it, and then we'll come back. But this, when somebody all of a sudden tells you that, you know, you're not going to work here anymore, we've got a transition package for you, or you're about to have a baby, or God's calling you to a different nation, or some change, this radical change, then something physically happens in your body, and we're going to talk about how we need to deal with that in the context of God. So listen up.
Okay, so I had a class where we were discussing change and how the brain actually processes change. And it was taught by a clinical psychologist, and it really helped me to understand some of the just the reactions that I have and why they happen. And because of this, I think it gives me a better concept of how to come out from underneath all of that. But what happens when you have a major change happen in your life is that your brain automatically takes that information and moves it to what's called the frontal cortex of your brain, which is a small part on the very front of your head. And it doesn't have a lot of room there, so you can only put so much information in that area. So that is why when you are going through a large change in your life and your brain uses that area to kind of store it and process that information, everything else in your brain shuts down. So you become hypersensitive in just a couple of different areas, but you lose most of the other functioning of your brain. You stop being able to hear clearly. The frontal cortex sucks up a lot of energy, and because it doesn't hold much, it means that you can't process a whole lot more information. So once that change hits and your brain begins to process that, you can't really hear what other people are telling you, and you can't really take in a lot of other ideas and thoughts, and you can't really function well outside of what you're trying to do with this one thing in your brain. It also uses a lot of energy, so you're exhausted. It makes you very tired if you're continually operating out of that frontal lobe. What also happens is that the frontal lobe sends a trigger to what's called your, I can't get this pronunciation right, but amygdala. That's amygdala. What it is, an amygdala.
Which is even very small.
And the amygdala is a very small part of your brain, and it is basically where the fight or flight reaction is triggered. So when a change comes in your life and the frontal cortex starts working, it throws this thing into action, and basically that part of your brain is trying to figure out how dangerous is this change for you, and what is it going to cost you, this change, and how is it going to affect you? And it causes you to pretty much just get very internally focused on yourself and what's going on in your own life. Your eyesight becomes hypersensitive, where if you've ever felt like you're a deer, you've got the deer in the headlight look, it's because your eyes become much more sensitive during this time. So you're staring at someone, you're trying to take all this information in, but you don't feel like you're really getting it all. And you're not really hearing what anybody else is saying because your hearing has kind of shut down. So really, you know, it helps me to understand all these processes happening at one time. Really helps me to understand, you know, why we react the way we do when we go through a change. But then we really, you know, at the same time, we have to remember that God is in control. You know, and it's not, you know, nothing we process here is going to really, it's, you know, there's a grander scheme to things. So sometimes you just have to consciously pull yourself out of that and say, it's enough, mm-hmm. you know? So that's pretty much what I learned.
So you think about that, that just the physiology, I mean, that actually happens. And some people say, well, there it is. And mm-hmm. that's not what God says. You know, the Lord says the flesh counts for nothing. This is what he says about that. Paul writes, and he's writing to the church of Corinth about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, this is verse 1 there, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, that I may not have to be bold as I expect to be towards some people who think we live by the standards of this world. And what the standards of the world does is they just respond to that. They lock into that. This is how things work. Mm-hmm. We build universities around that. We study it. We say, okay, this is what's going to happen logically next. But this is what he goes on to say. That's not how we operate. Or as somebody once said, this is not how we roll. He says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war. We do not wage war as the world does. So we do wage war, but it's not physical type wars. But it's a spiritual war. On the contrary, he says, this is the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to the demolishing of strongholds. And what, you know, Tracy's describing the physiology of is where, you know, mindsets come in and all of a sudden they get locked into our mind and we're supposed to take that and we can demolish that by the power of God and pull it down and say, no, I'm not going to let my body and my mind direct my heart. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to begin this thing in the spirit and end up think I'm going to accomplish in the flesh. Nobody's going to bewitch me mm-hmm. to think that I can actually accomplish what only God is doing amongst me and my family and right. whatever he's doing amongst me there. And he says, we demolish every argument. Think about this. On the contrary, they have divine power to the demolishing of strongholds. And we demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against God. Think about that. In other words, you can't just keep on having this stuff in your head that's mm-hmm. against God. When God says left and your head says right and you're thinking, oh, everything's cool. It is not cool.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
It is not cool for to set yourself up against God. It will not end well. Ask Lucifer. You have to deal with those things, but you don't deal with them in your own strength. You deal with them through God, through the power of God's word. If you missed yesterday, you need to hear where 11-year-old Jonathan was spoken to by the Lord in a dream that kind of explains this. This 11-year-old hears the voice of God or hears from God. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains as he's reading the word. And so when we speak the word of God, when you hear us over and over again saying, listen, you need to abide. You need to abide. Well, I don't have time to abide. Well, hello, defeated one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, one whose mind is set up against God. Mm-hmm. I mean, your head probably looks like a pincushion where all these things the devil said about you and accused you and judged you and all that kind of stuff. You're walking around with a lot of stuff in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You have no power to overtake that outside the power of God, which is his word. I mean, think about it. Jesus is the truth. And when you read the word of God, you're reading the truth. And if you're not reading the truth, how do you know what a lie is? If you don't know what a truth is, you can't identify a lie. You don't need to know what a lie is. You don't need to study darkness. You just need to be in the light as Jesus is in the light. You need to get in the word and abide in the word. And you know when darkness shows up, a dark thought. You know when a fiery dart, you know, hits in you. You know when you're starting to work things out in your flesh. Work things out in your mind and work things out, you know, through your works instead of just by faith and following God in your heart. Your mind is not your authority. God is your authority if you're a believer, period. No part of you ever is in the authority over God. God's an authority over you. If you truly, Jesus is the Lord of your life, and so every part of you submits to him. But in your heart, he says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, and it's your heart that will follow God. And when your mind starts to try to wander and try to lead you astray for whatever's going on, you tell your mind, you bind it, you say no, and you read word, and you share it with somebody, but you don't just logically say, well, you know, I just started thinking, so I started doing, therefore here I am. And I'm sure God will bless it.
Right.
Right? And by the way, there's nothing more frustrating than to try to change your direction without changing your mind. So many people's like, I'm just miserable. It's like, right, you got two different opinions going on. You're divided. The great divide. And so he says, we demolish. Paul's telling us this is what we do. We demolish every argument. This is what an argument is. An argument is just, it don't have to be loud. It could be quiet. It could come with song. It could come with a cup of coffee. It could come with a gesture. But it's something opposite of what's going on. And so if God says, like I said, left, and you say right, even sing it. Maybe you sing it in a religious way. Right. You know, it's wrong. It's an argument. You know, some people think an argument is just like throwing things and yelling and screaming. Those are the easy ones to identify. The tough ones are when they go, I see what you mean, and I totally agree with you. But did you ever think about, uh-oh, everything on the other side of the butt, he just flipped everything, right? That's called the judo of conversation. We demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We make it. Well, I just can't, because you're not putting any effort into dealing with your mind. You're trying to walk with God out of your head. And listen, whether you know it or not, that's your frustration. But ask the people around you. They're tired of you operating out of your head while you're saying you're following God. It just really creates a very negative vibe. You know, you've got just like the physiology then. You're constantly, because God's constantly changing. You know, you've got tunnel vision. You don't hear. You're like a deer in headlights. You're trying to have the flight or flight syndrome. How's this going to affect me? Is it going to hurt me? Is it going to take me? What am I going to lose? Am I going to lose something? What's going to happen? You know, it's about me. And so, listen, this is what Jesus tells us. He says, follow him. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Hebrews 6, we're told that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're told, Paul tells the Corinthians, he tells us, listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything that you see, everything that your mind is connecting with in the context of what he said, that is temporal. But everything you don't see is eternal, which means your heart's going to follow eternity, but your head is going to follow temporal things. So you're making decisions. Remember when Peter told Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. He had temporal things on his mind. He says, you have on your mind the things of man and not the things of God. You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. Oh, yeah. Get behind me, Satan, he said to Peter, right? But Peter was operating out of his logical mind. Imagine. That's what you need. You know, somebody give me, you know, 10 men and women who follow God in their heart versus 1,000 who think they are with their head. I mean, imagine what you could do. For God. Is that not powerful?
Yeah.
Powerful.
So I just want to encourage you. Understand there is a physiology. Your brain is doing that, but it's not an excuse to disobey God. It's not an excuse to hurt people. It lets you know you got to take authority over that and say, if I don't do something about this, it's going to damage my direction in God and me following God. It's going to damage my family, and it can turn us off course from God. I mean, realize that's happening. And when it starts to happen, you know, don't beat yourself up because you can't find your keys or, you know, things are going to happen like that. But you got to say, listen, I'm going into that place. I'm in the grip here. You know, this change is happening. Help me come out of this. And the biggest way to come out of it is to hang around like-hearted people who love God, who believe in God in your life, in the word of God over your life, and that abide with God, and you see a release of the power of God. Don't let it go to your head. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.